From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. A string of big American companies are effectively walking away from their American citizenship. Same operations at home, but under a new foreign flag with a lower tax bill. It's called inversion. President Obama calls it desertion and wants it to stop. Corporations say they've got to do what's right for their shareholders, that U.S. corporate taxes are too high. This hour on Point, American companies bailing out on America and what to do about it. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is your American company suddenly Irish, Dutch, Swiss for a lower tax bill? What should we do about it? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Washington is Michigan Democratic U.S. Senator Carl Levin. In May, he and his brother, Michigan Congressman Sander Levin, introduced the Stop Corporate Inversions Act of 2013 in the Senate and House to make it harder for American companies to merge and reflag abroad. Senator Levin, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Tom.
So this is the deal where an American company merges with a foreign company and reemerges through that as a foreign company itself, even though most of its operations are still here in the USA. Why are companies doing it?
They're doing it to save taxes, and just the way individuals look for tax havens to try to shift their money. We've got corporations that are doing the same thing, and it's, I think the president's right here. It's deserting the country, which helped to create them. In many cases, it's the country, for instance, with Pfizer that provided large research and development tax deductions and grants. It's the company, in case of Walgreens, which has most of their revenue here in the United States. Their management is here. They're controlled from here. Most of the stock is owned by people here, and yet they're trying to avoid taxes, and it's not right. And what should we do about it? We should stop it.
You say Walgreens. Of course, they haven't done it yet, but they're thinking of becoming Swiss. Pfizer tried to do it. It didn't work out, but many others have done it. It sounds exotic. Is this just a little fringe of companies doing this, Senator, or is this a big deal?
It's a growing problem, and we stopped it twice before, actually, but the lawyers found loopholes in the laws that we passed. We passed a law, I think, about 10 years ago or so, when companies were trying to create shell companies and then transfer their revenue to the shell companies in the tax havens. We stopped that. Then we passed a law saying that if you had a small company, for instance, 20% stock owned here, you would then you couldn't do that. You can't use a small company under 20% of the stock being held in America. Now they found a loophole in that. So now we have a case of Walgreens looking for a company overseas that if they merged, the company overseas would be owned 21% by people overseas. So it's just another loophole that lawyers have found. And we believe very strongly that there's an obligation to this country, where most of your sales are, where most of your research was developed here, where you've taken advantage of our patent laws and of our market. You have an obligation to this country, and you shouldn't walk away from it.
What about the companies when they say, look, USA, our home country, you've got one of the highest statutory corporate tax rates in the world at 35%. Other countries have much lower corporate tax rates, statutory. We've got to get out of here to do our duty to our shareholders.
Well, actually, the effective tax rate in this country is about 12% because of all the deductions that companies get. We're right in the middle, actually, of where most advanced countries are in terms of effective tax rates. So that argument doesn't fly. And if they want to reform the tax code, and they keep saying they do, try to get that done. But it's pretty unlikely that we're going to get tax reform at all. But if we do get tax reform, what we in our bill have done here in the Senate is say, let's have a moratorium. Let's have a two-year moratorium. Let's stop these inversions. And if you want to argue that there's a better way to reduce taxes through tax reform, okay, you go for it. I'm skeptical that it's ever going to happen, but if it does happen, then it can be changed at that time, whatever we do now. But what we've got to do now is stop This tax abandonment of this country by corporations. Corporations used to pay about 30% of our, or used to pay into the Treasury about 30% of our revenues. It's now down to 10% of our revenues because of all the loopholes that corporations use. And what that does is it leaves average Americans holding the bag with a larger responsibility to pay for the things that we need to do. We've got roads which need to be built and repaired and bridges repaired and education. We've got a fund with lower interest rates. We've got to do a lot of things in this country, and for corporations to try to use this kind of loophole to avoid doing their share is simply wrong, and we can stop it.
If it's not stopped, what are the implications, Senator Levin?
Billions of dollars lost to the Treasury every year.
What are the chances of your bill getting through? People don't seem too hopeful about it.
Well, we're going to battle it right down to the end of this Congress, and then if we can't get it done this Congress, we're going to pick up the fight, those of us that are here next Congress. But the American public is for what we're doing to stop this tax abandonment of America. And so we think that the public being with us, and that's across party lines, that we've got a good chance of getting this done if we can get it to a vote.
Senator Carl Levin, Democratic Senator of Michigan, joining us today from Washington. Senator, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, great being with you, Tom.
President Obama talked about all this last week at Los Angeles Trade Technical College. On Thursday, he talked about companies looking through this inversion process to avoid U.S. taxes.
They're technically renouncing their U.S. citizenship. They're declaring they're based someplace else, even though most of their operations are here. You know, some people are calling these companies corporate deserters.
Corporate deserter, says the president of the United States about some very big American companies, no longer American. Kind of a little paperwork, a merger, and they're technically out of here. Even though they're still here, people in the business world saying, hey, wait a minute, to think about how they look at it. Here's CEO Ron Kruszewski of Stifel Financial, brokerage investment banking firm, on CNBC the same day last week, Thursday, talking about this.
Do not criticize people in a free market economy for doing what makes economic sense. It is, everyone has said it. We have the highest statutory tax rates in the world. We want to solve the inversion problem. We want to get economic growth going. Comprehensive tax reform has to occur right now.
Of course, it's not occurring right now. And in the meantime, we've got a lot of Americans, American companies, who've already run up a new flag, not American anymore, and many more lined up to potentially do it. Joining me right now from New York is Andrew Ross Sorkin, financial columnist for The New York Times, co-anchor on CNBC's Squawk Box. He's written a lot about tax inversions, American companies dropping anchor abroad. Andrew Ross Sorkin, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
Why are so many companies doing this? Senator Levin says our effective tax rate in this country, not the statutory rate, 35%, but what corporations actually pay is right in the middle of the pack. If that's true, I don't know if it is or not, but if that's true, why would companies be bailing out?
It's true and it's not. In truth, and I agree wholeheartedly with the senator, by the way, I find this about as offensive as it gets, and we can get into that.
Yeah.
But I think that the best example of all of this is actually a transaction with Mylan. Mylan is the largest, or actually the third largest, generic drug maker in the country. The top tax rate, listed tax rate in the country, corporate tax rate, is 35%. That company currently pays 25%. That company is now going to move to the Netherlands and has said that they expect within several years to be paying in the high teens. So you can see how simply by leaving, they would go from a 25% rate to something in the high teens. Meanwhile, they are competing against companies like Teva Pharmaceuticals, which is a company based and started, for example, in Israel, and their tax rate is even lower. And so the argument that a Mylan makes, right or wrong, I potentially could argue to you wrong, but nonetheless, the argument they make is that here we are trying to compete against Teva Pharmaceuticals, for example. They have to pay a lot less in taxes, and it makes it therefore that much more complicated and difficult for us to compete against them, both on price and everything else that they're trying to do.
And of course, Mylan, the CEO, is Heather Bresch, who is the daughter of United States Senator Joe Manchin out of West Virginia. This is some picture.
What a dinner conversation,
what a
right?
I mean, is it that easy? You buy a little piece of a foreign company and somehow you flow your identity into that, under that flag, and
yep.
The American tax law no longer applies?
It's that easy. Now, in fairness, it should be explained that if you have operations in the United States, you continue to pay U.S. taxes on those operations. The distinction is once you move abroad, however, you don't pay taxes on anything that you're doing in a foreign land. It's also possible, depending on how you move your debt around, that all of a sudden you can be paying a lot lower taxes even in the United States because you're going to offset them with sort of what I would call a bit of financial engineering to make it look like you're making less money in the United States than you would otherwise.
Is there a downside in terms of reputation anymore for companies doing this? I mean, if big companies are doing it so often now, could we end up with a hollowed out American economy, lots of companies doing business here, but all of them under other flags?
Well, that's what I worry about. And frankly, I probably shouldn't say this. I've been, to some degree, trying to shame these companies in my columns by trying to suggest, look, you are an American company. By the way, most of these companies are pharmaceutical or drug companies. They are huge beneficiaries of U.S. taxpayers. Who is paying for these drugs? U.S. taxpayers through Medicare, through Medicaid. That's how these drug companies are making the bulk of their money. And so the idea that they are going to leave the country to get a lower tax rate seems semi-preposterous to me, but there it is.
On the other hand, maybe we ought to be looking at our tax policy, looking at it in global
Absolutely.
Context to see
There's a
how
I don't disagree.
Up.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about American companies becoming non-American companies, reincorporating overseas to avoid American taxes. They call it inversion, and it's booming, and it is controversial, to say the least. The president talking about this last week, the Treasury Secretary Jack Lew talking about it at a conference in New York. This was July 16th.
We should have some economic patriotism here. It's not right to take an American firm to benefit from all of the things that we do in the United States to make it a safe place to do business, but then to say, I don't want to pay taxes here, to shift my corporate address overseas to pay a lower tax rate or no taxes.
Economic patriotism, says the Treasury Secretary. But here's that CEO, Heather Bresch. This is the daughter of West Virginia U.S. Senator Joe Manchin. She's also CEO of the huge generic drug maker Mylan. Announced this month that Mylan would merge with part of Abbott Laboratories. The new company will be based in the Netherlands. Here she is on July 14th, CNBC, talking about what to do.
If we want to sit here and have a discussion about how do we handcuff U.S. corporations to the United States, I think that's unpractical and, quite frankly, ridiculous. We need to be talking about, as a country, how do we make this country globally competitive again?
Don't try and keep us here with handcuffs, says the CEO of what is now a Dutch pharmaceutical company. I started to say American. It's American no longer. Andrew Ross Sorkin has written a lot about all this for the New York Times. He joins us today from New York, financial columnist at the Times and for CNBC's Squawk Box. Got pro and con voices right here. Alan Sloan is with us, editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. His big cover story in the July 21st issue, Positively Un-American, big-time companies are moving their headquarters overseas to dodge billions in taxes. That means the rest of us pay their share. You get the tilt of his piece right there. Alan, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Tom.
And with me in the studio, Diane Ring, professor, Boston College Law School. She looks at corporate tax policy in the U.S. and abroad, thinks she understands why companies are going. Diane, thank you for being here.
Good to be here, Tom.
Alan, you're the CEO of a big company, and you've got your American tax rate. They're at home, and because it's America, they're taxing you on earnings around the world. Your board says maybe we ought to get out of here. Why do you say no?
Because if you just leave your money where you earned it, outside the United States, you don't have to pay tax on it. It makes your life more complicated, but it doesn't make it unbearable. I would say no. And since I actually have principles, and I know people in boardrooms also have principles, I'd say no. And if you don't like this, fire me. The old line I use in journalism is, I was looking for a job when I found this one.
But here they are lining up to do it, Alan, and there doesn't seem to be a reputational cost at this point. Dozens of companies have already done it. Dozens more are potentially lined up to do it. Should there be economic patriotism keeping them home, or do we need, a change in American policy so that they're not even thinking about reconstituting abroad?
We need two changes. And I've written this a number of times and actually testified in the Senate and said this last week. What you need to do is what I call a tourniquet to stop the bleeding. You adopt Senator Levin's legislation, which makes technical changes that would make it very unlikely that any company or any sizable company would invert, and then you fix the tax code. Now, it's real easy to say fix the tax code,
yeah,
but that's what you have to do. And to say, well, the tax code is uncompetitive, this isn't fair, it isn't right, the poor companies, the poor CEO, well, I mean, cry me a river. You know, fix the problem first, put on the tourniquet, and then let's all get together, see if we can act like grown-ups or Americans, and come up with some sort of tax code that people can live with. That's the solution.
But realistically, Alan, Congress isn't fixing anything lately, and fixing the tax code sounds like a giant challenge. You can see a CEO saying, forget it, we're out of here.
Well, then let them say that. And again, if I ran the show, which I don't, believe me, there would be serious penalties if I ran the show and Walgreens decided it wanted to move to Switzerland. What I would say is, well, Walgreens, you now have to underbid other American companies, or you don't have any government business
for Medicare prescriptions and all the rest.
Medicare prescriptions. I mean, there are ways to do this. I mean, I don't think they'll happen, but to sit and say, well, there's nothing we can do, Congress is paralyzed. I mean, if you believe that, and I believe that, we might as well give up journalism and go off somewhere and cry. And my goal is to stand and fight. That's what I'm trying to do.
Diane Ring, the president calls companies who are doing this deserters. Is that fair?
Well, I actually think I'd go back and say I don't think they're people, right? Notwithstanding Supreme Court comments to the contrary. And so I think it might be more useful to steer away from the language that we might use in other contexts and think more about exactly what the behavior is that we don't like. And in that regard, I'd like to return to comments that both Senator Levin and Andrew Ross Sorkin made at the top of the hour when they started to identify it wasn't just desertion. What they really were getting at was we gave you benefits. We've either given you tax deductions, we've allowed you to defer income. There are ways in which we've facilitated.
I mean, deeper than that. We've built roads. We've built a society, right. All people who contributed to what you became. We put warships on seas around the world so you could ship all over the planet.
Well, I think that when you start talking about the broadly available benefits of doing business in American society, that is a little more complicated, but they're very tangible benefits.
That is what we're talking about here, though. These are American companies who say, we're no longer American.
Right. So the question you need to ask is, what parts of it you don't like? And how do you feel about businesses that have never been U.S. businesses and set up shop here? So a completely foreign company sets up a subsidiary in the U.S. What do you think about them doing business here, how much tax they are or are not paying?
You mean just because we're in a globalized economy, which is what you're describing there, we have to just be okay with American companies bailing out when they don't like the American tax rate after they've benefited from everything this country provides for them?
How could I say yes to that? No, certainly not. What, in fact, I'd say is, again, getting to what is it you don't like about inversions? And there are three elements. The first is we have allowed these companies in various ways to defer income, and now we may lose that entirely.
You mean this is income that they've made abroad, which they would be taxed on if they brought it home, and there's trillions sitting out there.
Right. So that's first benefit.
Okay.
The second is future income that they may earn. I think that's the part that sometimes gets the business community more riled up. And then the third is how their U.S. operations that remain U.S. operations get taxed. And I think it's important to point out, I thought Andrew was actually kind of generous a bit. He did not push as hard as he might to say, yes, your U.S. operations remain taxed, but we now know you have extensive strategies because you'd be an inverted entity for really reducing your U.S.
tax
bill.
But isn't there a moral problem with growing up out of the soil of this country and then after you've benefited from everything that's provided, from what's in the law, from Medicare purchases and huge scale, let's say, of your drugs, from American soldiers who've gone and fight and bled and died? Well, I mean, it's real.
Right.
And then you say, oh, no, I'm a Dutch company. Never mind. I'm not going to chip in according to the law. Isn't there a moral problem with that?
I think people will feel a moral problem when you put it in terms of a holistic set of benefits that got you to your present
state. But why not? I'm asking you, put it in a holistic sense. Isn't there a moral problem?
I don't think companies behave in a moral way, and we haven't asked them. And quite frankly, the American public doesn't seem to see it for the most part. I was interested to see the reaction to Walgreens. I mean, many of the inversions we've seen in the past 4 or 5 months, while they may be household names to investors, I don't think they're household names to consumers. And yet, it'd be very interesting to see, does the American public respond to the Walgreens potential inversion the way they did to Stanley Works in the 90s?
Let's ask Norman in Bluffton, South Carolina. Norman, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to the discussion, and my thought was the American public should exert its will. I don't expect anything out of this Congress, but if the public had a list of all these companies that are inverting and started to boycott the companies and their products, hurt them in their bottom line, we would get some action from these companies.
Do you think it's wrong for them to reconstitute, to invert and go abroad, Norman, to avoid taxes?
I certainly do.
What about their argument that American taxes are high and put them at a competitive disadvantage globally?
They have all kinds of loopholes where they cut their taxes and delay paying them until they bring their profits back here, if they ever do.
So boycott,
and
you say...
I think that's a good argument.
Yeah, Norman, we're going to put up a list of American companies who have done this. The company, what they, how they did it, where they, what flag they're under now. It'll be at our website, onpointradio.org. You want to boycott? That's your choice. I appreciate your call. Bert in West Palm Beach, Florida. Bert, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
There was an article written recently by Frank Cerubino. You may have heard of him. He writes a column for the Palm Beach Post in which he does mention that the fact that Walgreens, which is a pretty big, drug store.
Sure, big chain.
And a lot of our senior citizens get their prescriptions from Walgreens. And I'm reading here that the chain is headquartered in Illinois. And Illinois has given the company about $46 million in tax break.
And they're thinking about becoming a Swiss company quite soon, possibly.
Right, and they merged with a company called Alliance Boots, a pharmaceutical wholesaler that moved from Great Britain to Switzerland to lessen its tax bill. Now, a number of people I've spoken to, I'm a customer of Walgreens, and I'm pretty well outraged about this whole thing.
So what are you going to do?
Well, a number of us have, they just recently opened a new freestanding building here in West Palm. And a number of people have said they're not going to continue getting their prescriptions from Walgreens. They're going to go over to CVS or Publix or some other company that is staying here in this country.
So just figure out who's still got the American anchor and give them your business. Andrew Ross Sorkin, I can only imagine, let's say Walgreens does this and reaps a big tax savings as a result. Other big pharmacy chains must really feel the pressure at that point to do the same. Is there the possibility of a kind of a great sucking sound here? If your competitor does it, you've got to do it too. Reflag.
We are in the midst of what might be described as sort of the inversion gold rush. Every company is now looking at this. Every Wall Street banker has gone in to pitch these deals. And everybody's trying to figure out what do we do next. The fact that Pfizer was contemplating this earlier this year, really more than anybody else,
yep,
as big as it gets, sort of opened the floodgates. But I wanted to make a point to mm-hmm. that was brought up earlier about these inversions. People keep forgetting the CEOs of these companies are living in the United States. It's not that they're moving their company to the Netherlands, but they're pretending they still live here. And these are companies where, the United States, we have price control. We don't have price controls, rather, on drugs. We have a totally free market. If you move your company to the Netherlands, there are price controls there. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a tax rate there, everyone should move to the Netherlands. But by the way, the actual income tax rate there, much higher than it is in the United States. And so what you have is these companies cherry picking the laws that they like and the laws that they don't like. And that's the problem. And so I just wanted to reaffirm what Alan said, because I thought his article was brilliant. But we need to figure out a way to put the tourniquet on now before, because you are going to see literally dozens of these things over the next several months, possibly, at least announcements of such.
Wow. William in Nashville, Tennessee. William, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Yeah.
I guess my perspective is a little different. It seems to me that, consumers turned their backs on companies over the decades from the 70s forward. When everything began being manufactured overseas, consumers took advantage of the low cost, shipped jobs over there, closed American companies, and now when companies are trying to protect themselves in the same way, we're trying to tell them, catch 22 for you. Sorry, you can't do what we already did.
Is it the same thing? Really, William? If I shop at Walmart, so Walmart should just reconstitute abroad and cut its American tax bill? I don't know. What's the solution, William?
Well, when I walk through the store, I see everything made in China. I can't find a product that I want to feed my dogs because I'm afraid of what they put in it over there. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff made overseas now for a lower price, and everybody buys the thing that costs you a little bit less because it's made somewhere else.
William, we've got it. Alan Stone, how about it? It's a moral equivalent of buying your made-in-China products.
Well, I go to great efforts not to buy made-in-China products.
Good luck with that.
I'll just pay more money. I'm fortunate I can afford it. I won't buy made-in-China food of any sort because I don't trust it. I won't feed it to my grandchildren. I won't feed it to any member of my family. The one thing you can say for Walmart and the fact that Walmart sources in China and puts pressure on American companies to move jobs to China, I really despise that. I suspect that Walgreens, because of the nature of its business, pays a substantial United States income tax, which doesn't make up for moving jobs to China, but at least they haven't tried to pretend that they're Dutch or Chinese.
But our caller in Nashville, Alan, he's essentially saying, look, these corporations are just being rational economic actors, as consumers have been, as they reach out for a cheaper product, even if it's made abroad. How do you penalize them for being rational economic actors?
If you believe in free choice, you as a consumer can do whatever you want to do. And if you believe in a society as I do, the society has the right to make rules. And the society should make the rule that Senator Levin is proposing that would make it difficult or impossible for 2 years for companies to desert, which is a term I used 3 weeks ago, to desert the United States. I mean, you just do that, and then you deal with the other problem. You don't throw up your hands and have some argument. You fix the thing. That's what I want to do.
Diane Ring, a tourniquet right now and then work on the big issue, or does a tourniquet look somehow wrong to you? Stop the bleeding.
Actually, I agree that there's really sort of a herd approach to this, and we are going to see more. I mean, if you go back even to the 90s, when the tax directors really began to feel pressure that they were a profit center, it's only increased in time. And
whatever they reduce their taxes by, that's profit, quote unquote.
Absolutely. And while corporations have always sought to reduce taxes, you can go back to the 50s for great examples of international abuse. There really is a distinct pressure, and I would expect to see a lot happening. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think about a so-called tourniquet now. I think what I would suggest is focusing less on the immorality of the conduct and really getting at what do we want to see happening? What benefits do we want to sort of take away?
But doesn't the moral question have to come in at some point? Otherwise, don't you get a race to the bottom? Some country out there will have zero tax rate on their corporations, and all corporations could go there.
And I think you are facing it. Absolutely. Tax competition's been off the table for a while, but really it's at the bottom of all of this globally.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about American companies becoming non-American companies, reincorporating overseas, merging, and inverting. Inversion is the word that's being used. It's booming. It's controversial, to say the least. Andrew Ross Sorkin is with us from the New York Times. Alan Sloan has written very critically about the trend for Fortune magazine. He's editor-at-large there. Diane Ring, professor at Boston College Law School, says, well, these corporations are rational actors, and there's a better deal for them abroad. Let's look at that. Lots of response here online. Jenner on Twitter says, hey, this should be a wake-up call to the U.S. government. Cut protectionist regulations, cut spending, cut all taxes, Jenner says. U.S. needs to learn. They're no longer the best game in town. Make this market more competitive. But here's Ray in Vermont says, if a company wants to move its American status, renounce it, and become Dutch, then can we get those executives to pay the top Dutch personal tax rate, which appears to be 52%, a lot higher than here in the USA. Brendan in Belchertown, Massachusetts. Brendan, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking the call. This subject has bothered me a great deal. We've been at war for 12 years. The global war on terror is sponsored by the American people, and these people are deserting us. They're leaving us just to make money, and we don't have money to take care of our veterans when they come home. How unfair, how awful is this? And it should be front page everywhere.
Brendan, we've got it. I appreciate your call. Bill in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Bill, you're on.
Hi, Tom. I think we need to remember that corporations don't pay taxes. They simply pass them on to consumers who pay those taxes in higher prices. And we should eliminate U.S. corporations.
Oh, they pay taxes. And what they don't pay, as my guest Diane says, goes into profit, which goes to shareholders.
No, they pass those taxes on to their customers.
Believe me, if their profits are higher, they enjoy those profits in huge CEO compensation very often in this country, in higher dividends, in higher stock prices. But what should we do, Bill?
We should eliminate corporate taxes, understanding that corporations would flee to the United States instead of from it. U.S. corporations could then again become internationally competitive, and customers, which in the case of Walgreens includes Medicare, would realize the benefits through reduced costs.
Maybe. Bill, I appreciate your call. Let's look at this. Andrew Ross Sorkin, you write in your recent column or story about Heather Bresch, you write about a potential race to the bottom here. Our caller in New Hampshire says, let's just embrace it. Go there. Eliminate corporate taxes.
Well, and that becomes the question. Ideally, we all want this country to be the most attractive place that you could possibly do business. I think we do a lot of things already that should make it attractive. This tax rate issue is not going away, and invariably, we probably do have to find a better system. Having said that, as you just mentioned and we said in the article, you could be going to zero, because think about Heather Bresch. President Obama's talked about lowering the statutory rate to 28% and 25% for manufacturers. That would still be too high for Heather Bresch, because she's getting into the high teens.
And that's the big deal that's supposed to be on the table, or people hope would be on a table in a tax reform.
Right. If you went to 20%, it would still be too high. Now, you could get interesting. You legitimately could go to zero and then raise everybody's individual taxes, but I'm not sure that's going to be as progressive either. I mean, there are things you could do, but it's just – the point is it is not simple. It is very complicated. And invariably, when everybody says get rid of the loopholes, well, what does that mean? That means that we're going to lower the rate, and every company who already gets a piece of that loophole is going to be vying and lobbying to avoid that loophole going away. So the idea that somehow we're going to have tax reform and it's going to happen instantly because people see people rushing out of the country, it's just – seems diabolical to me.
I mean, you could have a very low tax rate. Alan Sloan, I don't know what the tax rate is in Somalia. I bet it's very low, but it's not an attractive place to do business. We don't want to be that.
That's, in fact, the example I used, which is I didn't use that in print. If all anybody cares about is a tax rate in some African country, some county somewhere, and who knows where, can set itself up for 1% or 2%. You just can't have this happen. You need a combination of, to use the cliche, carrots and sticks. You have to make it very hard to get out of this country and to invert, and to make it painful in a variety of ways, but you also need to make it attractive to be here. You need both halves of this, and as Andrew says, the saying this is easy, doing it is hard, because your loophole is my legitimate deduction.
But how hard,
you can argue about this forever.
How hard can you make it, though? For example, as Diane Ring says, you've got a lot of foreign companies coming to this country to do business and buying companies here. Budweiser is not an American company anymore. So its parent company is now operating on a different tax structure than, I don't know, a brewer here in the United States, Sam Adams. Now, you can feel the pressure that must put on, I don't know, maybe Sam Adams to become an Irish company, Alan.
I mean, I have no idea what the tax rate is that Budweiser pays in the United States, and if the owners came in and fired everybody. So I'm not sure who knows what. Yeah, there's pressure. Yes, there are problems. So we try our best to deal with them. instead of giving up and saying, well, let's eliminate corporate taxes, and we know perfectly well that corporate taxes are paid by the owners of the corporation, the shareholders. That's who pays it, because when taxes go up or down, well, that's when the profits go up or down. And you don't see General Electric lowering the price of light bulbs every time someone figures out some new tax avoidance mechanism.
Diane Ring, what's to avoid in a globalized economy, a race to the bottom here, where everybody keeps reincorporating wherever that nation's tax rates are lowest or most advantageous for them? What's to stop that? And if that should emerge as what happens, you know, do we just get a poorer civil life overall globally?
Well, yes, actually, I think you would if you really find yourself at a true race to the bottom. And the question is whether we're headed there. And the current sort of international community focus for international tax has been looking at what's basically called base erosion and profit shifting, big multinationals eroding their tax base in higher tax jurisdictions, which tend to provide more infrastructure, both for the immediate economy as well as kind of the global economy, think stock markets. That's what they're looking at, because the U.S. is not the only country interested in this question. And it's not as if every other country in the world is a true candidate for inversion. Not really. I think there are enough steps one can take to stop that. So you're really worried about, in a sense, comparable enough countries, Ireland or the Netherlands or the U.K., that's really at present where your focus is.
That's where the competition is.
Exactly. And so the question is, what's this international conversation going to move towards? Is everyone serious enough? And I think the answer is really unclear. If you look at the U.K., for example, about 15 months ago, they finally put in place a series of measures that made themselves very attractive for their multinationals.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's a conversation going on in the UK about concern over multinationals not paying their fair share.
Starbucks got in big trouble there.
Exactly. So what are we to make of the sort of dual-threaded conversation running through our trading partners? And I think the answer is not clear yet.
You can see this race to the bottom, Andrew Ross Sorkin, going on and on, though, and sort of undercutting countries' ability to remain, as you say, attractive places to do business over time. I mean, the more globalized we become, what's the next step? Those CEOs, you could say, drop corporate taxes way down and instead raise the money through personal income tax. Well, that shifts a lot to people who aren't making a lot of money. But if we raise it very high at the top, what's to stop the CEOs from changing their citizenship? Suddenly they're not citizens of the United States either. Everybody bails out on the central project.
Yes and no. And here's one thing that I think is important to say. We're talking about the context of the Budweiser transaction before, where a foreign company bought that company. And that was a bigger company buying what was ostensibly a smaller company here in the United States. What we're talking about in this case is smaller or big companies in the U.S. buying smaller companies and then not leaving. So the CEO is based here. They're still sitting at their desk here. People are not as movable as you think. Yes, technically they're movable, meaning we've created these ridiculous laws where we could pretend that we're at a P.O. box in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
For some reason, we allow that. I'm not sure you're going to have American CEOs, if you told me that they could do this or that they would do this, that they're going to go live in all of these other countries so quickly. So, but you have to change the law.
But they don't have to with our current law.
Well, but then that's why you have to change the law. I mean, I think it's plain, it's simple. You probably have to work on some other form of corporate tax reform in addition to that, as Alan has said repeatedly. But you do have to figure out a way to stop this madness. And then the second piece is what do the tax laws look like and how attractive are they? Do we deal with a territorial tax system? Does it make sense for a U.S. company to have to keep all their cash offshore? Wouldn't you like that cash to come back? Yes, I would love it to come back.
That's because we tax American companies on global earnings.
Right.
This is unusual among countries.
But I want to make sure that if it comes back, it actually comes back and doesn't go straight into dividends and other things that shareholders benefit. I want them to come back and actually use it to build factories and create jobs. And that becomes another complicated issue. And so what are you going to do that? How are you going to avoid all the playing games? I will tell you, Peter Orszag has a great suggestion to how to deal with what's called territorial taxes.
Yep.
Rather than tax people on what they're calling the profits in these different regions where everybody can sort of play games. He says, look, if a certain percentage of your income comes from a certain country, that's how it is. And you can't play any games. If 80% of the money is made, revenue is made in the United States, you pay 80% of your taxes based on being in the United States. I think that that's actually a reasonable way to go.
Don't shift it through the paperwork and have it pop up somewhere else and scot-free. Gigi in Rivera Beach, Florida. Gigi, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I've listened to some interesting discussion while I've been on hold, and you've hit some of the points that I've wanted to make. One, the bait, dangling this bait of job creation before us. We are like fish before, you know, at a feeding frenzy for anyone who says they'll create jobs. And it's a shame because we'll roll over and let them do anything, turn the environment inside out or do anything for the promise of jobs, usually low-paying jobs. I just, you know, someone had suggested, I'm not saying suggested that we boycott, but had mentioned that sometimes when consumers are not happy with a corporation's behavior, that they'll show their displeasure. But I just wish there were a way for us to withdraw ourselves from them and fire them. You know, we're so concerned about them laying us off. they're not against taxes because they want us to pay the taxes because they have contracts with our governments, military, security, health. They are in favor of taxes. They just want to transfer it from working people to themselves. And it used to be that they could wrap themselves in the flag and talk about benefits to America, but I think countries are not anymore nationalist companies. They're not patriotic. They're simply, the country is capital.
Well,
capital is its own country without allegiance to a nation.
Gigi, good points, many. And we can see, clearly, they're wrapping themselves, these companies doing these inversions are wrapping themselves in different flags now, though sometimes quite quietly. Allison, let's just go back for one second to the effective tax rate. Senator Levin asserted at the top of the hour that the effective tax rate in this country is only 12%. And so, you know, all in, when you look at all the different deductions and loopholes that are out there, if he's right, why would companies be leaving? Is our effective tax rate, not just our statutory rate, is it higher than the global norm? Do we need to bring it way down somehow?
Okay, before I answer that question, let me make one simple point, which is if these CEOs left the country to become Irish citizens or Dutch citizens or Swiss citizens, they'd have to pay a substantial exit tax. Did you know that?
I
didn't know that.
No.
If you have a net worth of more than $2 million and you renounce your U.S. citizenship and move to another country, you have to pay an exit fee.
Well, so there's one little handle we've got on this situation there.
Right. But that's so mean. How could we even, you know, think of doing such a thing? And I'm a supporter of Senator Levin's legislation, but when it comes to these tax numbers, everyone plays with numbers. And I'm not sure exactly what an effective tax rate means. And if it is, in fact, really 12% and 12% of I'm not sure what, it's because of all of the efforts companies go to lower their taxes. And they'd much rather have lower taxes, have complete freedom to do whatever they want with their money anywhere in the world. And when he says it's an effective tax rate of 12%, maybe that's true in the sense that he's using it, but companies don't care.
Diane, do we end up hollowed out in this country because Congress does not have much of a track record on fundamental tax reform? Lots of talk about it, but year after year, it doesn't happen. Most of what I read is pretty skeptical that Senator Levin's tourniquet will be applied here. Are we at risk of watching just, you know, score after score of significant American corporations reflag and show up as non-American corporations and taking the hit that suggests?
I would say it's actually two parts, two concerns that we really need to be thinking about. One is, as we've described, the sort of herd mentality for those companies that are in a position, can find the right, quote, buyer abroad to do an inversion. But I also think, and we really haven't talked so much about this, there are the companies, the big multinationals that have not inverted but are engaging in what's truly splendid tax planning abroad and really bringing down their own effective tax rates.
Apple here,
absolutely.
Microsoft.
And you know, it is obviously the businesses that have very intensive IP, intellectual property mm-hmm. values, that are really in a position to do this. But I think that's also a problem, both for the actual impact it can have on revenue, but also for the sort of taxpaying psyche. That is, what do we see sort of as an American public or small business in the U.S. or entirely domestic business? You see some inversions, and then you see the multinationals that stay. They're not necessarily doing everything we would hope they'd be doing.
Andrew Ross Sorkin, what are the politics of this? Are Republicans or Democrats more keen on stopping this? Who's not keen on stopping it?
Well, I would argue that there's a contingent on both sides that want to use this as a wedge issue to get to a true reform package as opposed to the tourniquet piece. Mm-hmm. And they want to use this over and over again to get there, and they're against the tourniquet. So I think they want the big thing, but the big thing is very hard to really reach. Getting tax reform, that's years in the making.
In the meantime, Americans, watch out. You can get a full list of the companies that have already done this backflip and ended up as non-American companies abroad with the avoidance of American taxes that comes along with that. It is at our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks to all of you today. Andrew Ross Sorkin with the New York Times. Thanks for being with us, Andrew.
Thank you.
Alan Sloan, editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine. Alan, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Diane Ring, professor at Boston College School of Law, Law School. Thanks very much for coming in, Diane.
My pleasure, Tom.
Listeners, great to be with you again. Boy, a lot of news out there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.